Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Yeah. Is it true what they say about you? They say you'll never, never be true. Oh, hey, everybody, it's Brian Beebe. It's Wednesday, the 26th of something. April, yeah. And it's Earth Day? No, it's not.
That was a while ago.
But anyway, it's Brian Beebe, and we're doing another one of these crazy live on Facebook podcasts and trying to get it right. Every time we do it, we do something different, try to get better at it. But we're on MadisonTalks.com. If you want to check us out 24/7, the podcast that you're watching right now on Facebook will be archived. It'll always be on Facebook on my page. Now I get a little drain, and it'll always be 24/7 on MadisonTalks.com. So okay, yeah, and so we might have a visual here pretty soon, but it doesn't matter. I'm feeling pretty good. Today, we're brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, which is a great family kind of a restaurant that you can go to day and night and comfortable and family people, family friendly staff. They have 6 locations all over Wisconsin, Middleton, Sun Prairie, Verona. They got 2 in the Dells and 1 in Eau Claire. And the one in the Dells is in Lake Delton at the Wilderness. It has a nice theater in the basement, and they run concerts down there in the fall and the winter. We just finished up our fall and winter season. It went all the way through beginning of April. Anyway, and I'm also brought to you by Sorrento's Italian Restaurant at the Wilderness. Sorrento's at the Wilderness. If you go to www.sorrentosrestaurant.com, you'll get pictures. You'll see they got an old piano player that plays 4 nights a week in there. That's me. I've been there over 10 years. But anyway, enough about me. I'm gonna hoping that we can get some discussion going. The number here is 608-210-1667, and we can talk about anything you want to. Call it open phones, like Mitch Hank does. I usually try to make these little talks about something I know something about, and that's usually ends up being about music. And we're talking about all different eras of music. And today I'm kind of going to talk about great song lyrics. And if you have a favorite song, a song lyric that that you want to talk about or ask me about, call us at 210-1667. We will get to it. The first one I wrote down, and this is about creating song lyrics too. And the story goes that this is the first song that John Lennon wrote when he was in his Bob Dylan mode. He was inspired by Bob Dylan for a while, and he wrote this song. Hey, you've got to hide your love away. You've all heard the song. And that was the first of his Bob Dylan-influenced songs. Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall. You know, Bob Dylan's lyrics were lots of word pictures and not particularly linear lyrics. The story that went along with that was that Bob Dylan came over to John Lennon's house at one time, and he presented a new song to John, and he said, yeah, but listen to the words, man, listen to the words. And John Lennon said to Bob Dylan, I don't listen to the words. I don't listen to the words. It's not true, of course, but that's what it's told that he said. Somebody's on the phone. Who is it?
Ron.
Ron? Hello, Ron.
Hello, Brian Beebe.
Hello, Ron who? Who is this?
Well, let's just do a little bit of La Bamba for old time's sake.
Hey, goodness sakes, Ron, how are you, man? You're out in California, aren't you?
Well. No, I'm in Oregon now.
Oh my God. Yeah, ba-la-la-la, ba-la-la, it's supposed to be ba-la-la-ba, no, ba-la, para-la-ba, para-la-ba-la-bamba, but you always just went ba-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-bamba. What else did you used to sing another one with me, man?
Buddy, yeah, we did, and Dick Bruno.
Yeah.
Dickie.
Oh, yeah. What did you used to sing? What else did you used to sing, man? There was another one that you sang besides La Bamba.
Well, I did a couple of them.
Yeah. Splish splash, I'm taking the bath, or something like that. How
something
are you, man?
Like that.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah,
you're looking great.
Yeah, it's all an illusion, man. It's a camera angle. There's smoke and mirrors in here. You don't see them, but there's smoke and mirrors in here. Good to hear from you, man.
Good to hear from you. I know there's other people. I know there's other people that want to talk to you, but I've been following you on here. So good luck to you.
Yeah, man.
And
how's your pretty wife? Don't say I haven't talked to you in a long while, so don't tell me if it's something terrible's happened.
No, she's well. She still kicks my butt.
Oh, that's good, man. And I'm always scared to ask that if people that are 130 years old like you are, and I haven't seen you for a while. So anyway,
sure.
well, good. Give me a little para la ba la bamba before you go, man. Come on.
Para la 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 bamba. Para la la bamba. Se necesitan de poca gracia.
You still got it, man.
All right, brother. You
thanks for calling.
Yourself. Stay healthy.
Talk to you soon.
Bye bye.
Oh my God, that's a 1991 or 2 was the last time I saw that guy, I think. And he used to always get up, but he's a Facebook friend. You know, say what you will about Facebook, but I have been able, and so have you, been able to stay in touch with people that you haven't even thought about or haven't thought about contact with since high school. You know, how many people have you run into, from your high school class on Facebook and caught up a little bit? Maybe you don't talk to them all the time. And I thought at one time I talked to a friend of mine. I said, you know, there's no personal communication with anybody anymore. Nobody writes letters. There'll be no physical memory of these communications we have with each other now. Because there's no written, like there is, your grandfather's and your grandmother's letters are written and they're ink on paper and you have those, they're physical. And he answered me almost immediately with, yeah, but I got a CD in the mail the other day with all this information about two relatives that I never even knew. I mean, and it was a CD of digital information that had been dug up somewhere along the line that's nothing to do with physical ink on paper letters, you know. So, I mean, there's trade-offs about Facebook. But all in all, if you make an effort to keep your politics and your religion off your page, I think you can enjoy, sharing pictures and sharing stories and things about your life. And all of a sudden, somebody that lives several hundred miles away can see what you're doing every day without even checking with you. It's beautiful. Like texting is, for me, is so much better than phone calls themselves because I can think about what I want to say a little bit longer. I can erase if it's wrong. Yes, I know the sound of your voice and your inflections are important, and you can be misunderstood in the words and lack of punctuation like there is in most texts, you know. But it really is, for a guy like me who likes to say it just right, it is a chance to say it a little more slowly and go back and correct. Then I changed it. I got talk to text. Do you know what that is, Mike? Yeah,
oh,
got
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, is that a pain in the neck. You know, every time you say, so I went over to Walmart and it says, in the message would be so sequential, sequential dowel house or something like that. You know, it's not at all what you said or what it sounded like at all. Or maybe you say here. I always say to my phone now, and it always comes up N-O. And I wonder if they're allowing for some kind of a southern accent. You know, now, now, May, now. Now why? Now why? So you're saying no, but it thinks you're saying no. Anyway, let's talk about some really cool song lists. I get carried away, and I get to, you know what Mike and I were talking about before the show, and I'm just going to ask you what you think. I don't know why this popped into my head, but when it was 2:30 in the morning one night, I'm thinking about what I'm going to talk about today, and for some reason, cryogenics and Walt Disney popped into my head. And if you know what cryogenics are, it's when you get frozen till some later date when they can cure whatever's wrong with you, right? And I was just wondering if there's a lot of people that are frozen. And I was wondering if they thought out Walt Disney, would he be alive and sick or would he be dead? And they'd have to reanimate him. What do you think? I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's really a dumb question, but that's what jumped into my head. Would Walt Disney be alive again and sick and dying? Or would he be dead and you'd have to reanimate him? That has nothing to do with what I'm planning to talk about, but it was one of the things that I wrote down to ask you guys. I'm not going to say anything about the windmills. I kept talking about the windmills down by Middleton. I've made a habit now. This is my 10th or 12th podcast, and almost every time I have said, when I was young, I worked in a psychiatric ward of a hospital. And I'm going to have a show about that someday and just talk about that. And I never have, and I probably never will, but every show I feel like I have to mention that I used to work in a psychiatric unit of a hospital. It was really interesting, and I'm going to do a show on it. One of these days.
There's the teaser.
But not now. And I think I finally have a different shirt on. Mike was calling the shirt I kept wearing every week was, he called it a uniform. I don't know. Mike Brockenfeld is our tech guru in the booth, and he makes all of this live streaming possible. And he's a heck of a musician, too. I'm just guessing, assuming that he's pot smoker big time. But don't know that for sure. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about my online dating too. It seems like I always talk about that. So it's not going any better. I just don't want to talk about it anymore. So I'm going to start with it. I mentioned the Hide Your Love Away by the Beatles and John Lennon being influenced by Bob Dylan in that song. But I know songs from all kinds of eras and different 40, 50-year-old songs and not too many new songs, but up to the 80s and 90s, I'm pretty good. But some of the most beautiful lyrics, and there are still songs that you know. For example, you know, somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. It's just as pretty now as it ever was in 1938-39. There was a song, and I like to do this song. I do it, I play it most nights that I play. Written by a songwriter, big time songwriter in the 90s and the aughts. Is it the aughts or the zeros? When it's 2000, aughts. It's aughts. Yeah.
I like aughts.
Yeah. His name was Babyface, and he wrote a lot of hit songs for a lot of people. But this song particularly, and I'm going to sing part of it for you because it's so good, was written co-written with Eric Clapton, and it's called Change the World. And it's a simple, basic song, a love song, until the chorus kicks in, and it's really something different. It goes like this. If I could reach the stars, I'd pull one down for you, shining in your heart, so you would know the truth. So far, kind of normal love song. That this love I have inside is everything it seems, but for now I find it's only in my dreams. Now here's where it really gets good. I can change the world. I would be your sunlight in your universe, and you would be
my love was really something good.
You would think my love was really something good if I could change the world.
Baby, if I could change the world.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Love it. If I could be king, pretty normal. Only for one day, I'd take you as my queen. We'd have it no other way. And our love would rule this kingdom we have made. I'd be a fool.
Wishing for the day.
Hey, wishing for the day I can change the world. I would be your sunlight in your universe, and you would think my love was really something good, baby, if I could change the world. Isn't that a great lyric?
Love it.
Yeah. And that kind of goes with one from the 70s, and it doesn't go with it, but it's the same beat. If you went for a soft rock thing, it would be a Leon Russell song that's really cool. He's written a bunch of them, but this one goes, are we really happy here in this lonely game we play? Searching for words to say. That's pretty much normal. Searching but not finding, understanding anyway. We're lost in a masquerade. But the chorus is so cool. It goes, we're both afraid to say we're just too far away from being close together from the start. We tried to talk it over, but the words got in the way.
Oh, yeah.
We're lost inside this lonely game we play. That's called This Masquerade by Leon Russell. It was originally Leon Russell, but lots of people have done it. And the big hit was George Benson. If you remember George Benson, he did a great... Look up George Benson's version of that. He's such a great player and singer. The story on George Benson that I heard a long time ago was that his gymnastic voice, the way he sings, oh, all over the note, was inspirational to Stevie Wonder and not vice versa. Anyway, there you go. Is somebody on the phone there? No. How about... This is a song that Irving Berlin wrote for his wife. Just a really simple, beautiful song. And it's also an example of, you know, when good song lyrics will either have no rhyming words. Of course, the exception to the rules, they might not have any rhyming words. But they might have a word at the end of the first line that rhymes with the third line in a four-line verse. If you looked at four lines, first line rhymes with third line, second line rhymes with the fourth line. Or they might go in couplets. The first and the second line will rhyme the third. And then there's also interior rhyme that where the some word in the middle of the line will rhyme with the last word of the line, too. And this is a pretty good example of that. This is a classic song from your parents' generation. It goes, I'll be loving you always with a love that's true always. And when the things you planned need a helping hand, I will understand always. So that in that case, always is the name of the song. It's repeated over and over in the song, and the rhymes come in the middle of the line. Isn't that I mean, for musicians and potential songwriters like myself who pay attention to these things. That's interesting. And then, I'll be loving you always with a love that's true, always. And when the things you planned need a helping hand, I will understand always. That's a great song, classic song. I don't know if it'll be around forever and ever, but it lasted for the last 50 years for sure. There's also a line in a song. Is that a break? Okay, well, I'll come back. I want to talk about Tom Waits. Do you know who Tom Waits is? What a great song lyrics. This is Brian Beebe on the Madison Talks, and we'll be right back.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Oh, I can't. Brian Beebe here. The phones are lit up. I'm hoping I'm getting people want to talk about song lyrics, and I meant to get into a little bit of these songs that are misheard on the radio. You know, there used to be a gag on somebody's comedy record about the way that people misunderstand the lyrics that they hear. Like CCR had a song called A Bad Moon Rising, and the chorus was, "There's a bad moon on the rise," and the gag was people were going, "There's a bathroom on the right," and it's,
I like that one.
Yeah, me too. And so if you got any of those, let's talk about that too. Who's on the phone, Mike?
We have Stevie Ray.
Stevie Ray Nelson?
Yep.
And hey, Stevie. Oops, I don't have him.
He's not there.
Okay, maybe he'll call back.
Yep. Let's try Ron.
Okay, hold me closer, Tony Danza.
Yeah. Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And the first time I heard it, I still think that's funny.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza. Yeah, it does sound
good. You do that much better than I do.
Hold me closer. I know, that tenor voice, I know, man.
Is this something on the highway? Or
yeah.
I can't remember.
How are you? Tony Danza was the thing, man. Yeah, hold me closer, Tony Danza. Yeah, I like that. What else you got, man?
Well, just listening in to try to get to what's going on with the topic for the day.
Well, it's and song lyrics, you know, and good,
song lyrics.
Excellent song lyrics. And you know at least as many songs as I do. What sticks out in your mind as a really, what song has a terrific lyric that you really care about?
Well, it wasn't so much a song or a particular lyric, but what I remember
something your wife wrote to you in a sex letter, or if it wasn't a song, if it wasn't a song or a song lyric, why are you bringing it to me, man?
Well, what I do remember is back in the 80s, I was told by a friend of mine that, well, you know, back there was college courses on just the analyzing of the Lennon McCartney songs.
Wow.
That was available for college credit.
Wow.
And how, you know, those two guys from a port town in England,
right,
had so much influence, and people just pick apart. There's all, and it's like Paul McCartney, all you need is love.
Yeah.
Right. And that's all he wrote about for the most part until, you know, there were other things, but just came out so beautifully, and the melodies they had me, and the chord structure, and how it's just amazing what they were listening to.
Lead a better life, I need my love to be here,
mm-hmm,
making each day of the year. Well, it's great stuff, but you know, they got their influence. They rejected the skiffle groups that were going on in England quickly, right, when they were very young, and listened to American rock and soul. You know, they
yeah,
and so basically their influences were Carl Perkins and Buddy Holly and Smokey Robinson and stuff. So they were, when they were young, they were listening to much cooler stuff than most people in England were.
And on CNN, in the past few Thursdays, there have been some specials about the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the Stones came up on one having to do with the writing and singing and what they listened to early on. And they were listening to some of the, Howlin' Wolf, Muddy,
yes,
Waters, and some of those R&B, well, they call them R&B now.
Those guys.
From the 40s, 50s,
yeah,
even further back than that. And
yes,
that influenced,
sure,
where they went from there, and Mother's Little Helper, and that became a little bit darker, if you will, as far as what was sung about.
Yeah, but you know what?
And the content, anyway.
I don't know what artists, physical, painting artists and stuff, that, Jagger, and Jagger was in art school, you know, what we'd call after high school or junior high, they went to art college, you know, and he learned very early the value of shocking people with lyrics. You know, the Mother's Little Helper was just the beginning. There was also Paint It Black in the very early days, you know, with I see a red door and I want to paint it black. Paint it black! I want it all to paint, go to black. It's very, very dark, and for the teeny boppers that were buying those records. And then it evolved into Goat's Head Soup and, you know, Sympathy,
right,
for,
right,
the Devil. And,
pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed mine.
Call me Lucifer.
That wasn't exactly a love song.
No.
Well, it was of sorts, I suppose it was.
Yeah.
They were saying, oh, those guys are devil worshippers anyway.
Well, sure.
And this and that, whatever, yeah.
But it didn't stop people from buying it, and they will remember it for years to come, too, those songs, you know. Hey, Stevie, I'm gonna pick up this next song, this next call. Can you hold on?
I will. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Hello? Who's on the line here?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Zenith.
Hey, is this Zenith?
It is.
My old friend Zeno, the original lead singer for Cheap Trick, and the current singer, lead singer for Bad Boy, and Zeno and Joe, and Zeno 2.0, and he plays at Sorrento's occasionally with me and without me. Zeno, my man!
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm glad you called. We're talking about song lyrics that we really like, and I can't think of anybody else that's got more songs in their head that you've written and haven't written.
Well, like I tell most people when they ask me for a request, I literally have forgotten more songs than I actually have my repertoire
yeah,
right now.
Yeah,
there's
I
been
know
a lot of them.
Yes, I know. And if you don't do them regularly,
they go away.
Yeah, they just go away. And so,
yep, yep.
I have this big song list that I have all my songs that I play regularly on it list, and it's not really for the audience as much as it is for me to remember which songs I've learned. And so I don't play the same ones all the time. And you have to do these songs once in a while and to keep them.
I've got
give us a
song. Massive repertoire and various projects. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have a different song list for every every band you're in. So, I know you like those early Bee Gees songs the way I do. But
oh, yeah, me too.
What would you say is, what comes to mind when you think of a great lyric?
A great lyric?
Yeah, one of the standout ones.
That's a tough one. There's so many good ones out there.
Yeah. Well, pick a number two. Pick a good one. Just what do you? Immediately when I think of you, I think there's a light, certain kind of light that never shone on me.
Did you see Keith Urban's version of that?
No, but I would like to.
It's on YouTube. He did it at the Bee Gees tribute. It was tremendous.
Wow. Hey, Zeno, I think we got to go. Are we going to break? Okay, I got mixed signals from Mike. Oh, there's another caller, but we got somebody on hold right now, don't we?
Yeah, Ron called.
Okay. Hey, Zeno, give it some thought. I'm going to answer this next call and see what's going on.
All right,
hold on. Just don't go away.
I'm not going anywhere.
All right, man.
Everybody can talk.
Yeah. Oh, all three of them?
Yeah, big time.
Okay, who else do we got? Ron?
Ron, Stevie, and Zeno.
Ron, Stevie, and Zeno. These are three of my best friends, man.
There you go.
Ron, is this Ron? Which Ron is it?
I'm here.
Ron who? This is Brian, man. Hello.
Hey, Ron from Oconomowoc.
Oh, hey. Geez. Ron Graywin. That's even more interesting. My old science teacher buddy that we were talking about the windmills every show lately, except for you, except for this one. Hey, we're talking about great song lyrics today, Ron, and you...
I got two of them for you.
All right, let's hear them.
Before you talked a little bit about rhyme and rhyming schemes...
Yep, yep.
I have one of my favorites that has no rhymes in it whatsoever.
Oh!
Absolutely none.
Okay, what is it?
And I'm guessing you'll get it in the first three words.
All right.
The first words are pennies in a stream.
Yeah, da 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 da. Moonlight in Vermont.
There you go.
Goodness, that's something. And that doesn't have any rhyming words at all in it?
Not a bit. In fact, it follows, I'm by no means an English literature professor, but it's a form of Japanese poetry called haiku.
Oh, okay, sure.
Where if you count the syllables in the various phrases, there's a... There's a line of five syllables.
I'm laughing because it's so like you to have done this research about this lyric from a song 60 years ago, and you've discovered somehow along the way that it has the rhyme, the rhythm scheme of a Japanese haiku. Only you. What's the other one, man?
Okay, the other one has the best line, the best single line. Of any tune.
I'll be the judge of that.
Way back to the 20s. Okay. The tune is Carolina in the Morning.
Right. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning.
Yep. Keep going.
Nothing could be sweeter than be treated in the morning.
Where the morning glories twine around the door, whispering pretty stories. I long to hear once more, and here comes the line.
Okay.
Strolling with my girlie, where the dew is pearly, early in the morning. with my girlie, where the dew is pearly, early in the morning.
I like it. And you know, whoever wrote that lyric, sweated over that one.
I bet.
I mean, how do you make that... all those rhymes and make it interesting like that and still convey the fun message that you want. I do have a line that's probably equally as good as that. Not better, but equally as good. And it's one from a Tom Waits song called Sight for Sore Eyes. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the line is... partly, it's the last part of the line is, "Hey barkeep, what's keeping you? Keep pouring drinks, okay?" And it's basically the three different uses of the word "keep."
Yeah.
in about a 5-word stretch. You got it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Barkeep, you know what that is. He's tending the bar. What's keeping you, mean holding you up.
Right.
Keep, meaning continue, to pour drinks. Isn't that amazing?
That it is.
Three different uses of the word keep in the same line.
The lyricist on Carolina was Gus Kahn.
Okay, he got her up and down the street a little bit.
And you have to picture, you have to, in your mind, when you hear that lyric, you have to hear it as though Dean Martin were singing it. Because
of the fast vibrato.
He made it special, yes.
Oh, yeah. He had that. And Dean Martin just claimed, he said, I made a career out of doing a Bing Crosby impression.
There you go. Those are the only two I had. I'll let you get back to Zeno and Stevie.
All right, man. Well, thanks for checking in.
Certainly.
Nothing could be. Early.
Strolling with my girly.
Strolling with my girly early in the pearly. Pearly, early in the morning. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's almost as good as that one. Reminds me of that one in Bruce Springsteen's Blinded by the Light about the girly whirly. He might have been thinking about that, you know. Come by in and ask me if I needed a ride. You know that one?
Yep, indeed.
Thank you, Ron.
Certainly.
And I'll talk to you later.
Enjoying the show. Bye.
All right, man. Who's next? Who we got on?
Stevie and Zeno.
I'm still here.
Oh, you were fat. Why didn't you talk to Graywin?
I don't know. You were busy.
Well, but Stevie knows Ron Graywin. Why didn't you jump in?
He was supposed to come through Tome on his way to La Crosse today, so I was going to see him in person. So it's pretty cool that he called in. I'm glad he did.
Well, he's still going to, you know, maybe, I don't know where he called from.
He's if I'm not mistaken, I think Ron is on his, going to be, moving up north a bit, so he has some more computer stuff for me. Like, I need more. But
yeah, you'd have to buy another house for all your computer and musical equipment.
It won't do any good.
Oh, yeah, you got a little more space now that the dog ran away. I had to bring that up. I'm sorry. I don't know why.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to slap myself.
And therein lies a country music song right there. So there's your lyric. Not making jokes about my dog, of course, but that's, you know, what do you get when you play a country song backwards? You get your wife back, you get your house back, blah, blah, blah.
Dog back, your car, yeah.
Well, all right, so I'll turn the tables on you. What kind of stuff do you write, how do you write, what's your favorite style of writing? I know something in particular that I do. I don't write very well, and I don't write very much.
Me neither.
But when I write, I try to make it ambiguous enough where you could put yourself in the video. If there is a video for the song, you put yourself in the story.
Well,
so it isn't like specific to one particular thing.
Keith Richards always said, a good song lyric will ask more questions than it answers.
Oh, I've never heard that quote, but I like it.
But it's good. When you get done, you can say, well, what was he talking about this, or was he talking about that? And you know, I kind of see myself in there. Yeah, that's what I mean. I almost always write the words first, Stevie. But at the same time, I'm always going along. Let's ask Zeno. Zeno writes a lot of songs.
Cool. Yeah, you always have to try to make some sort of sense, but sometimes it just sounds good.
Yeah.
For instance, the Beatles with Cuckoo Pachoob.
Yeah.
They were geniuses, and John Lennon said, it just sounded good.
Yeah, I'm not sure obla-di, obla-da has any
I don't think it means
meaning,
anything, it just sounds good.
Yeah.
Rolls off the tongue, you know?
Yeah, well, and here's the other challenge for us three, okay? I've always written songs with the idea of trying to write a hit record. I'm not particularly writing them for myself. And so you have to conform to certain things. And obla-di, obla-da is not one of them for a first hit. You know what I mean?
Right.
When you have the whole world's ear like the Beatles did, you can get by with obla-di, obla-da. But not us. We have to have that first hit first, you know?
Yeah, I don't know that I'm a big fan of trying to contrive a song.
Yeah.
I think it's more expressing either an opinion or a feeling or an event, or even a place.
Do you ever take a title first?
Hopefully will, you know, relate to other people.
Do you ever come up with a two-word title or three?
It goes to be all kinds of ways. A title, sometimes it's just a guitar lick. Sometimes it's just a melody. Hell, I might hear the lawnmower at the neighbors and start singing to it. God, there's a song.
Pretty good exercise that somebody suggested to me along the way, and you guys might enjoy trying this, is if you write a four-line verse, you know, you've got your first verse right after you got your song idea. And then you go back and try to write three more lines for the first line, three more lines for the second line, three more lines for the fourth line. And so now you have 12 or 16, I don't know the math, but you try to make a verse out of each line. And it's just an exercise, because I don't know, it's hard to take a great idea for a song and turn it into A-B-A-B or A-A-B-A, you know,
right,
and have it all consistently. I've never written one yet that I'm happy with from front to back.
Yeah, I find that if you don't strike the moment, it's a lot harder. I've got parts of songs I've had for years.
Yes, me too.
That I can't finish, but yesterday, I wrote a song in 20 minutes. It was just there, you know.
Front to back, all the way done? Oh my God! See,
it's done.
I wish I could
do
that.
It just happened, you know.
I've done that with lyrics, but I can't end up with music for it that I like all the way.
Well, I find the lyrics are the hardest thing. The music's easy for me. It's just chord progressions and melodies that I can comes right out. The lyrics you got to think about a little bit.
Yeah, and make them rhyme if you can, you know. And they have to jump right out at you. I remember when I was shopping songs around back in the late 70s and 80s, they all said the same thing. You got to get your hook in there quickly, in the, you know, first few seconds of the song, and the title has to be, the title, and they took this to extremes in the 80s, the title has to be provocative right away. It has to make you want to say to yourself, I want to know what that's about. You know, just looking at the title, you want to say, I want to hear what that's about. But then in the 80s, boy, those punk bands and stuff, they would just have the Screw Your Mother and all these titles that whatever, you know, for shock value. And you got 10 of them or 8 of them on the record, and they're just so bizarre and impactful that you you don't want to hear any of them, really.
I think it's a lot like studying music theory. They give you all these rules, and here's how you're supposed to do it, and in the end, guess what? There's no rules.
Yeah.
Like wine tasting. in college, here's this kind of wine. When it all is said and done, just drink what you like. Well, I could have done that and saved $600 for doing this course. I learned that.
That's good.
I just learned a great pop song like Taking Care of Business by BTO, and then you've got Bohemian Rhapsody. Okay. That makes no sense, but they both work.
Yeah. Well, Bohemian Rhapsody is one that sticks out from everything. You know, I mean, they'll never be. And, you know, it used to be Paul McCartney, for example, would take scraps of songs and turn them into a record. Like, do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Admiral Halsey, what was that? It started out, we're so sorry, Uncle Albert. But we haven't done a bloody thing all day, you know. So this slow thing, and then it goes into the hands across the water. You think those two songs weren't written separately? I mean, of course
they
were. You stick
like,
them together.
Golden Slumbers and the End.
Yes, that was
different
all
songs
scraps.
All together. That was just great stuff. You
that
know?
Was all scraps.
Or even if you go toward like Venus and Mars Rock Show or Band on the Run, it's just different speeds.
Yes.
And then it just goes from one. We're going to take you to the next scene here in the song, and there I are, okay.
here's one from the Venus and Mars record, and we could talk about Paul McCartney for a whole show.
I love that one.
How about, isn't it Magneto and Titanium Man? Is
sure.
Magneto a real word? Did he make that up?
Oh, yeah, it's a comic book hero.
Magneto?
Magneto was a villain.
And Titanium Man. Venus and Mars Rock Show, that was a great record, man. That was good from front to back, man.
Apparently, Paul reads comic books.
Well, or somebody does. But that was he was I wrote a song one time, totally inspired by McCartney, because he would make up words even. You know, fanciful words. If you needed a word for a space and didn't come up with something, he'd make up a word, you know, and it was just... And that it's, but you can only do that once you're already rich and famous at writing songs, you know. So
apparently,
yeah.
I make up all the words. I make up new words all the time. That's usually late in the evening. I don't remember what I said the next day.
Yeah,
scotch involved.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a good word.
Zeno, do you have any of those lyrics that somebody misheard and sings it wrong when they sing with the radio?
Oh, sure. You know, hold on a second. How about? Hold on a second here. I just had it here.
I'm going to talk about Zeno for a second while he's looking. Zeno, you know, was the original lead singer for Cheap Trick, and all from Rockford. We're all from Rockford. He and I went to high school together. Rob and Xander was in our class, and he still sings with Bunny occasionally. And Bunny Carlos, the drummer from Cheap Trick, made a record. 2 years ago, a year ago? What, when was it?
A year ago, yeah. It's a good record.
And they still take that material and go to bars and play. And Zeno's the singer. I mean, you're still getting around, man. I don't know how you can.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever get to stay home?
I've got a day off tomorrow.
Not on a week.
It's pretty rare.
Yeah, but tomorrow's Thursday. I mean, you never get a weekend off.
Well, unless I plan on it, you know.
Plays the state fair. He plays Summerfest every year. I don't know. Last year, Zeno played what, four different bands at.
I think I'm opening with Bad Boy for Steve Miller this year, and with the Joe 2.0 Orchestra, we are opening for the Moody Blues. So that should be pretty good.
Oh, cool! And then you That'll got two fun. Other bands that you took to Summerfest last year, didn't you? Or did you?
I think I did. The Happy Jacks last year, and I think that was it, just the three of them.
Oh, I forgot about Happy Jacks. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stay busy.
Yeah, Stevie.
I used to have a busy season and a slow season. Now I just get busy and busier, which is why the only way I get a weekend off is I got to plan in advance.
You still look like you're 25, too. I mean, that's
amazing. Well, I feel like I'm 45.
Go on.
It's still pretty good.
Go on ZenoRocks.com. If you're listening to me right now and you're curious about Zeno, go on ZenoRocks.com. Or what else, man? How else do they find you?
That's as good a place as any.
Yeah. Facebook, anything?
I don't really have a Facebook page.
You don't have a Facebook page?
Nope.
Well, you were sending me all those erotic things for a while, wasn't that?
Was I?
Well, wasn't it the Facebook messages somehow? I mean, let me look you up here.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you want to look up Randall Hogan, I'm on Facebook.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. And they weren't erotic messages. In fact, neurotic messages, and they were kind of irritating. So
right.
I didn't answer you.
Okay.
But anyway, you guys are terrific. Stevie, give me, what about Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground? What is your favorite song lyric, man? Give it to us quick.
I don't know if I have a favorite song lyric, because when I started playing back in the 60s, I was listening to a lot of Chet Atkins, a lot of instrumental stuff.
Yeah.
And the lyrics did not come through for me. Chords, and yeah. I mean, there was the stuff out there that you could get on the patchy AM radio,
yeah,
or the Philco upstairs. I was serious.
Yeah,
that's what would come in.
Scratchy,
you know, it's all pretty dated, but it's true.
LaCrosse was the only station you could get, I suppose, huh? In Toma.
I was living out in Camp Douglas, by where Volk Field is. Camp Douglas, a little bitty town. And it's kind of difficult to ascertain what lyrics were what, and it really didn't have much meaning for me at 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. You know, you don't think about what lyrics and how they impact you.
How about some of those classic country songs that Maggie May sings, that you sing in Maggie May and Heartland Country. You sing on TV and all kinds of concerts and stuff. And she does real classic country stuff. Is there anything there that strikes you as a really cool song lyric?
Yeah, there are some artists that are singing some really neat stuff, like let's say Juice Newton or Emmylou Harris. you know. I'd like to hear her sing some more stuff like that. But the early stuff, some of the country stuff, obviously, is if you listen to it, it's they're put together and it's just fun, and it just rhymes because they, you know,
her
they
audience just have, is older, and they want to hear her do the bluegrassish, you know, funny country, cute country songs, and not the
Jolene does stick out though. We do that one, and
you
that's
do?
A lot of fun, and that's an interesting story. And what I had to do, we were starting to, I was starting my first year or two in the band, and I told her. Because she'd be, you know, no stoppage of energy, that girl.
Yeah, oh, yeah, she keeps jumping.
And I said, now, yodeling. Listen, you have to kind of rein it back a little bit, because you're not happy about this woman taking your man away. You know, you are PO'd,
well,
right?
She's jumping and kicking her feet, and it's a song about, heartache, yeah.
You're telling this story, and you're not exactly happy about it, so, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of funny, though. That's one of...
Let's laugh for the couple of these, man. Let's laugh for the couple of these song titles. This one is a song line, and maybe you guys could tell me where this song appeared. This is where the first place I ever heard this was a little bitty piece of a movie, and it went, "If I give my heart to you, then I'll have none and you'll have two." Do you remember that was? Crocodile Dundee was singing that in the tub as he rinsed out his socks. You remember that? If I give my heart to you, then I'll have none and you'll have two. I thought that was cute. How about this song title? You can remember this one for If I Had a Nose Full of Nickels, I'd Blow It All on You. That's an old one. I Fought the Carbs and the Carbs Won. How's that?
I like that.
Hope you're living high on the hog as the pig you turned out to
turned
be.
Turned out like, to be, I knew that was coming.
I gave her my heart and a diamond, and she clubbed me with a spade. Have you heard that
okay,
one?
Okay, I get it.
Yeah. While I was out getting hammered, she was getting nailed. That's a real song, isn't it? I don't know. I hate every bone in her body but mine. You know, you can't really... it's hard to kiss the lips at night that chewed my ass all day long. How's that?
That is a real song, and I sing it.
Oh, you do? It's hard
it's
to kiss the lips at night as that chewed me my ass all day long. That's a real song.
Yeah, that's by.
Let's hear a little bit of that.
Vince Gill and Rodney Crowell.
Come on, let's hear a little bit of that. We're heading towards the end of the show. Give us that.
Oh, great! I don't have the lyrics.
We'll just sing that.
I've been on a mend for the past month. Yeah. I can't remember anything.
She got the ring, and I got the finger.
Yeah, she got the gold mine. I got the shaft. That's a Jerry Reed number.
If I had shot you when I first wanted to, I'd be out of prison now.
I have one for you.
What?
I have one for you.
What?
I came up with, originally it was going to be just a line that I'd say on stage. You didn't find a leash. You lost a dog. That's going to be a song.
Didn't find a leash. Don't write that.
If you didn't find a leash, you lost a dog.
Okay, so you picked up a leash and it had no dog in it?
Yeah.
Here's one for you.
You thought you were.
All right. What is
here's one for you, Stevie, because you live in the Chet Atkins. I don't know if you know this one. It's called Mountains of Illinois. That's what it's called.
Ow.
Is that a real song? It is.
Chet Atkins
song? One of my favorite songs by the Ramones. Every time I eat vegetables, it makes me think of you. I don't know what that means.
I like it. That's almost
I gotta look that up now. That's a real song.
That's almost Shaggy Dog jokes and Dadaist humor. The Mountains of Illinois. What would it be about, man?
Well, that's
a
good
busty
question.
Woman or something?
Well, first of all, it's an instrumental, so who knows?
Well, it's an instrumental, so it's tongue-in-cheek. Okay. Well, anyway, you guys, I could talk to you forever. Let's do a Paul McCartney show here soon, and we can all talk for 2 hours about that.
There you go. No problem.
Zeno, I love it that you called in, man, and this will be posted on madisontalks.com forever, 24/7 you can hear it. And if you want to look at it again, I mean, share it on your share it on your Facebook page right now, or go to mine anytime you feel like it, and you can see it again.
I will do that. And we'll
see you amongst you one of these days here, man, up in the Dells.
I'm so glad we had this time
together. You know, I wrote this song. I'm going to sing it sometime. I'll see you again soon. We'll do it just like this again. I'll see you again soon. We're really going to miss you, but there'll be other time to sing this happy song. I'll see you again real soon. I just not the words, but... And the chorus is good, though. They don't make folks like us no more. They must have broke the mold. We take it all and yell for more. We never will grow old. That's one of mine.
Anyway, there you go.
Yeah, anyway. You guys, you're aces, and I appreciate the crap out of you. So thanks for calling in.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon, Brian.
Take care.
Talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right. Brian Beebe Show. Once again, brought to you, I forgot to go to the breaks. I forgot to go to mention that we're brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill all over the state and Sorrento's at the Wilderness at Wisconsin Dells, where I play four nights a week, 7 to 10. Come on up and see me. Mike Brockeveld at the controls in the back. See you next week.